Today we begin a series of discussions of different Piskei Halachos of Moshe Feinstein with regard to various different topics. Very, very fascinating discussion Moshe Feinstein has in two different places. Both tshuvas were written in the 1960s, the first in 1964 and the second in 1965. And the question relates to the purchase of insurance. Does that entail a lack of bitachon in a Kaddish Baruch Hu or not? And very, very fascinating how Moshe approaches such a shaila. Where are you going to find a Gemara that discusses whether you can purchase life insurance or not, and then whether you should purchase whole or term life insurance? Yet Moshe somehow manages to find makaros and reasons to answer both questions in the Divrei Chazal. In the first tshuva, Moshe writes the following. He was asked if there is any concern of Isser because purchasing insurance may be a lack of bitachon in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, or maybe there's actually an advantage to buying insurance. So Moshe says, Lanias Daiti, he says, I don't think there's any lack of bitachon in purchasing insurance. Why not? So here's his basic svara. Svara is because purchasing insurance, says Moshe, is like any other investment. It's like any other business venture that a person is not only allowed to pursue, but in general, a person is obligated to pursue forms of parnasa, says Moshe. Mechuyev lasos mischar va'avod leparnasaso. A person is obligated, not just allowed, but obligated to pursue some form of business or source of parnasa for himself. A person is not allowed, says Moshe, to say to himself, oh, I'm not going to do anything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide my parnasa for me. Because who says that I have the schus to take such an approach, such a laid-back approach to my parnasa? After all, we know it's usur to rely on an ace. It's usur to assume a Kaddish Baruch will perform a miracle for me. How do we know that? The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Samach, Amud Aleph says that if a woman is pregnant, after the first 40 days, the Gemara says it is forbidden to daven that the baby should be of a particular gender, because it's already been decided in utero, and now davening is essentially davening for a nace to happen. And that is not permissible, says the Gemara. So Moshe says, so very clearly, one is not allowed to rely upon a nace, one's not allowed to daven for a nace even, and therefore, when it comes to parnasa as well, you can't just assume that I'll daven for a nace, I'll rely on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to provide my parnasa for me. I'm obligated, rather, says Moshe, to pursue some viable form of parnasa. Now here comes the flip side, the bitachon side. At the same time, says Moshe, a person has to recognize that whatever profits I do receive from my work is only from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Famous Gemara in the very beginning of the second parak of Beitza tells us that each and every year, at the beginning of the year, Kaddish Baruch Hu determines for each and every individual how much money that person will make over the course of the coming year. So everything is determined by a Kaddish Baruch Hu. It's just that, says Reb Moshe, Kaddish Baruch Hu has decreed that I will only be able to access that parnasa through some form of avodas, through some form of business or work. Reb Moshe then refers to a famous Mishnah of Maseches Kedushin. The Mishnah of Pei Beis and Aleph in Kedushin says that Reb Meir tells us a person should always teach his child an umnis for parnasa purposes. And Rabbi Nehorai says that no, I'm going to leave all forms of umnis in the world. I'm only going to teach my son Torah. And that's it. So Reb Moshe writes, even according to Rabbi Nehorai, which his statement seems to imply that one is not obligated to teach a child a form of parnasa, he still agrees, says Reb Moshe, that this person, when he becomes mature and has a wife and a family, is obligated, nevertheless, to pursue a form of parnasa himself. Rabbi Nehorai is only arguing about whether the father has an obligation to teach the child a form of parnasa during his youth. But once the child is of age and now has his own responsibilities to provide for his family, he of course also has the same obligation to pursue a form of parnasa, says Reb Moshe. So if that's so, Reb Moshe writes, if that's true, that every individual has an obligation to pursue a form of parnasa, cannot rely on a nes, cannot even daven for a nes, so Moshe says if that's the case, then even for gedolim and tzaddikim, who perhaps are worthy of having miracles performed for them. And certainly for people in our generation, says Moshe, who are not on the stature of the gedolim and tzaddikim of generations past, we're not allowed to rely on any sort of miracles, and there's nothing wrong with pursuing a form of parnasa. And here is a very important line. He says there's nothing wrong with attempting to pursue a form of parnasa that is more likely or will more easily provide an easier profit based on our understanding of how it works. That's an interesting line there. It's not just that I have an obligation to pursue parnasa, and then I have to obviously assume that all my revach, my profit, my income is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But I'm even allowed, says Reb Moshe, to choose a parnasa based on what we perceive is more likely and more easily to provide me with a parnasa. Because obviously there's differences in terms of income level based on whether you're going to be a shoemaker, whether you're going to be a doctor. Right? No one's going to deny that. So do I have to say, well, I'll be a shoemaker and have bitachon that the rest will come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Reb Moshe says, I have no chiv to take the shoemaker job when everyone understands that being a doctor is going to be more profitable in the long run. I'm allowed to choose an umnis that is more likely and more easily going to provide a parnasa for me. Even though I always have to maintain that same belief and bitachon that the parnasa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person will come from any umnis, any form of parnasa that I pursue. Because it's not the parnasa that provides the wealth or the income, it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But still, I'm allowed, nonetheless, to choose a what is perceived to be a more profitable umnis. Why? So here's his explanation. Because who says that I am worthy of being zocha to a parnasa by doing umnis A as much as I would be zocha to parnasa by doing umnis B? Meaning, if you want to make $100,000 a year being a shoemaker, you need perhaps a little more zechuyos, a little more spiritual merit to advocate on your behalf. Then, if you want to make that same amount of money being a, you know, a surgeon. So Reb Moshe says, who says that I have that zechus to assume that I'll make just as much money being a shoemaker as I will being a surgeon? Maybe I don't have that zechus. So therefore I have the right, says Reb Moshe, to choose to pursue the more profitable parnasa. However, again, once again Reb Moshe writes and emphasizes, I have to always bear in mind that whatever profit I make is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who simply has decreed that I have to work for a parnasa, and he determines how much profit I make. Then Moshe concludes this first tshuva by saying, if so, insurance also. It's like any other form of business, of mischar, or of investment that a person does for parnasa, for himself and for his family. He says, maybe, you know, if I have life insurance, I won't have to work as hard because I won't be so worried to provide for my wife and kids one day after I die. I'll have a source of income for them, so therefore I will be able to ease the burden of working right now. So that's like any other investments. You invest so that you don't have to work as hard down the line. So if Moshe then writes, he says, this is a Dover Tov. It's something which is advisable, something which is good to do. Also for Anoshim Ksherim Yirei Hashem Yisbarach Ubotchim Rakal Hashem Yisbarach. For people who are Ksherim Yirei Shamayim and Balei Bitachon, this is also a very advisable route to take. After all, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the, you know, the option of insurance. He's the one who enabled us to come up with a system of investment, so to speak. And the same applies, says Reb Moshe, to fire insurance, to auto insurance, to insurance against possibility of theft. All these forms of insurance do not in any way indicate a lack of bitachon whatsoever. This is Reb Moshe's first tshuva, written in 1964. In 1965, he was asked as a follow-up to this question by apparently somebody else, okay, what form of insurance do you recommend? There's two types of insurance, and here I defer to those who know more about this than I do. But should I pursue the insurance, purchase the insurance that will provide me with a source of income in my old age, or the source of insurance that will only pay off after I die for my wife and children? Which one is preferable? Whole versus term? Is that the correct terminology? Okay, thank you. So now we're going to find the Maamar Chazal to discuss the benefits of term over whole life insurance. Well, that's why Rav Moshe was Rav Moshe. So Moshe says, seems like the following. He says, there is a Gemara in Meseches Nida, Daf Lamed Aleph. What does the Gemara say? It's one of those Agadot Gemaras that perhaps you run through thinking, okay, that's a nice drasha, let's move on to the next sugya. And yet Moshe uses this Gemara as a makor for the benefits of one form of insurance over another. How so? So Moshe says, the Gemara tells us in Daf Lamed Aleph, Amid Beis and Nida, Rabbi Yitzchak says, in the name of Rabbi Ami, Ba Zachar, Ba Kikaro Biyado. When a male child is born, so he comes with food in hand. Nikeva Ein Ima Klum, Nikia Ba Ad Amra Mezoni Lo Yahavila. But a female child doesn't come with parnasa in hand until she davens for it, Rashi says, she won't have the parnasa that the male will have. So what does that mean? So, based on the Rashi and the Mashal's understanding of Rashi, it seems as if the Gemara is saying that a Zachar has a greater Havtacha for a source of Parnasa than a Nekeva does. A Nekeva apparently has to daven harder for her Parnasa, as opposed to a Zachar who has a Mazel that is more conducive toward receiving Parnasa. Now, exactly how to define that, I'm not sure, but apparently the Gemara is saying that a Zachar has an easier time attaining Parnasa as opposed to an Akeva who has to daven a little bit more for her Parnasa than a Zachar does. So Moshe says that's the case. As long as a head of household, as a husband and father is alive, he has this Havtacha of Kikaro Biyado, he has this Mazel, the Gemara says, that toward achieving Parnasa, that benefits him and his family by extension. However, he says, after he dies, if he leaves a wife as a widow, who now has to provide for herself and find a source of parnasa for herself, she has to rely on this zuchus that her tfilos will be accepted in order to attain that same form of parnasa. And Moshe says, we know that Chazal were concerned for providing for the parnasa of an almana. Right, after if an almana is given a certain amount of money for her mezonos, for her to sustain herself. So Moshe says that therefore it is certainly advisable for a husband, for a father, to also try to ensure as best as possible that he can provide parnasa for his wife after he dies. It might not be obligatory. It's not a chiv for a person to buy life insurance so that he will have a source of parnasa for his wife after his death. But certainly advisable and highly recommended. And therefore, Rav Moshe says, bottom line, and if you're wondering about what the insurance rates were like in the 1960s, so here's a little detail for you. He says, if your options are the following, either you can pay $400 a year and receive $15,000 policy, which when you turn 65, they'll pay you a certain amount of money, whatever the arrangements would be. The other option is that for those $400 yearly, you'll buy a $50,000 policy, but they won't pay anything until after you die. So Moshe says he thinks it's preferable to buy the $50,000 policy, which will be payable after your death only. Why? So that your wife and children will then have what to use as a source of parnasa without having to worry afterwards. Why? Because a person has this mazel, this haftach of Magadosh Baruch Hu, that he'll get the parnasa for himself and for his family a little bit more easily than his wife would get if she was working on it on her own, so to speak. So Moshe therefore recommends to pursue the term. Okay, bottom line. Good question. He was asked by a man, so I'm not sure what he would tell women. But he was asked by a male questioner. So he paskins, he recommends term life insurance. I think the companies, you know, caught on to this. They should probably advertise in the Williamsburg and Borough Park, Chuvash from Moshe Feinstein, Gross Moshe, you know, buy your term here. What? Okay, so Rav Moshe then concludes.
Does he have an age limit on it?
Term lapses.
It's
not sufficient.
Right. Okay. Good. Okay. Good question. He himself concludes by saying, he says the very end of the tshuva. He concludes by saying, he says, however, because it's astonishing to me, he says, how is it possible that just $400 a year to pay $50,000 after you die? So he says, right. He says there must be some other, you know, small print condition that I'm not aware of. In which case, he says, you know, you shouldn't necessarily advise this to everybody if there are these other conditions that I'm not so clear on until we speak further, you know, upon discovery of the further details. So I guess in principle, Rav Moshe is saying that, you know, the idea of term versus whole life insurance, there is a benefit in his mind in providing for one's wife and children after death rather than to look to provide for oneself during one's lifetime through the purchase of insurance. Because again, a husband, father, male head of household has this added haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide for his parnasa a little more easily than a woman would be zochet to it. She might have to daven a little bit more harder than he would have to daven for it. But then again, small print always has to be taken into account. Then if it's not as simply understood as was presented here, then more has to be discussed and considered before advertising that Rav Moshe advocates for term life insurance. Okay, so I gotta tell me what the variables are. Yeah.